listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, it's Alan here, and welcome to the Catch Up. Big show today. Had a chat with Tony York, the WA Farmers President, all about the CRC's getting that funding back, which is great news. Ethan, unsuspectingly, joined me as well to talk about the bailing up medieval carnival. Simone had a chat with me as well about a great fundraiser for Nick happening at VAT 2 next Friday, all the details in that one as well. Kim talked all things about a big tree for why I hashtag visit Collie. I see big tree loosely. It's like over 400 years old. On top of that, a few little extras sprinkled throughout the show. Enjoy the catch-up. We heard about the news last week announced the CRCs. It looks like they're not going to be cut after all. I know a lot of people are feeling really relieved about this. I'm sure this man included WA Farmers President Tony York on the line. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, how you going, Alan? Yes. Look, very pleasing news. It's really good to see that the ministers reviewed and had a good look at the case for the CRC funding, and it's very pleasing that she's going to reinstate the funds fully.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of bad that they even thought about cutting them in the first place, but surely...
I can't answer for the government, for the ministry. I mean, they're going to look very hard at all their investments. Clearly, they are under the pump financially, but it is absolutely gratifying that they've drawn to the conclusion that they're going to keep that funding going in full. So there'll be many, many communities and CRCs that will be very pleased with that result.
Absolutely. For people who are unaware what CRCs actually do, what is their purpose in the community?
Well, they actually tend to get a bit tailored for different communities, but they're community resource centres. So the communities, to a degree, will work out what sort of services they need and use that office and that administration to service those demands. So you do find that they're doing quite different things across the state, but all with a community base.
Absolutely. It's good for the people that work in them as well, knowing that their jobs aren't going to be cut.
I'm sure there'll be many, many people that'll be very pleased to know that it's been reinstalled in full. That's fantastic.
100%. Now, for you guys, it's like, yep, CRC saved, tick, that's fantastic. but now you've got to kind of focus on the other things. In particular, we've heard about Mora School, funding being cut for that one, and also, of course, live sheep trading as well. It's just about putting on that pressure again, I guess.
Well, that's right, Alan. Keep telling our story and justifying or empowering the decision makers to see their way through and allowing us to continue to operate. So it's a different state department that's dealing with the Mora funds for the Mora College of Residents. And of course, it's really the federal government and what happens in federal parliament that's going to decide how we what sort of future we've got in the live sheep trade. So we will continue to work hard and lobbying for both of those.
Absolutely. We'll keep fighting the good fight, mate. And thanks for the chat this morning. I do appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Alan.
Brand new book out, The Norm Smith Medalist, The Players Who Delivered on the AFL and VFL Football's Grandest Stage. I have the author on the line, Dan Eddy, to chat all about this book. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Alan. Thanks. Yeah, very well. Thank you.
Man, what a gig you have. You just sit there going through all the football records and doing a ton of research about the greatest game that exists.
It's like I was never good enough to play it, so... getting the privilege of writing about it and interviewing the great players, so it's been a thrill.
Absolutely. Who did you get to catch up with? All of them?
Not all, unfortunately. Some were pretty elusive, but there's 37 winners, and I got only Maurice Rioli's passed away. So of the 36, I got to high 20s, I think. There was a handful that I couldn't get to, but I know there's a few. There was four West Coast blokes, and I got the three of them. Peter Matera proved a little bit difficult to tie down.
Yeah. I've heard that about him. He just kind of does what he wants, Matera.
The guys I couldn't interview, I interviewed players who played with them or against them or coached them, and I spoke with Chris Waterman and John Worsfold, and they said, mate, we're his teammates and we can't get a hold of him, so good luck.
You're on your own. I love it. I understand West Coast did something very special. Chris Judd in particular, he won a Norm Smith, even though his team, the West Coast Eagles, didn't win the premiership that year. That's not very common when that happens.
Definitely not. Actually, I think he's the last one to do that. Yeah, there's Maurice Rioli, he did it for Richmond in 1982 against Carlton, and then Gary Ablett Sr., one of the great grand final performances in 1989, and then Nathan Buckley 2002, and then Juddy 2005. Yes, they're a select group, and it's a different conversation with them because it's not as great a memory for them. So it's while the medal ranks very highly in their collection, they don't look back on it as fondly as the guys do that have won it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bittersweet.
For sure, yeah. And when I was speaking with Bucks about it, and he said, look, the only time I really talk about it is when someone like you asks me about it. Otherwise, it's not something that's heavily on my mind, because it wasn't a great memory. And he got, as soon as he had the medal popped around his neck, he took it straight off. Not necessarily embarrassed, but just the team didn't win, so it wasn't the same sort of feeling.
Yeah, straight in the pocket with that one. Yeah, I can imagine why you'd be feeling that way for sure. A question as well that I'm sure you would have probably asked a lot of the guys is, where do they actually keep it?
Yeah, they're a bit... some just happily nestle it in the sock drawer, and some... I know there's a couple of Hawthorn ones at the Hawthorn Museum, and I think Wayne Harms, who won the first one, I've got a feeling his is still at the MCG at the Sports Hall of Fame there. Some have it proudly on the wall. I think Kempe might have his on the wall, and maybe Billy Duckworth over in WA as well. So it's a bit of a mixture. Some proudly display all that stuff, and some just keep it there for safekeeping and pull it out when someone wants to have a look at it.
Yeah, football is all a completely different bunch. Every single one an individual for sure.
That's right, yeah. And such a unique... It's a unique club because the Brownlow, everyone gets together at the end of the year, and you can, even if you've been retired for 20 years, you still go along and you're part of that club, whereas the Norm Smith guys never get together for anything. So it's... Yeah. Very different club, and if you are getting together, it's purely with your premiership teammates to talk about that. So it's a really sort of unique club, but it's a badge of honour. I know for a lot of them concede that it's such a thrill to actually have. It's a sort of a merit badge saying that you've performed well when the heat's at its hottest, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this sounds like an amazing book. Obviously, you're going into detail about every single person that has picked up this amazing accomplishment. Thanks for the chat today and that book. Make sure everyone gets in store and checks it out today. Thanks for the chat, man. I do appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and I'm sure all your listeners will love reading about the Four Eagles.
Yeah. You may have heard me talk a little bit about this yesterday. The Bailing Up Medieval Carnival is coming up, and I noticed they've got a ton of things going on, including like 100-plus stalls, and they're going to burn a dragon or something, but they've also got a combat arena. And I was like, yeah, I'd be pretty cool having someone fight on my behalf, because I ain't doing it. And I've been trying to find that person. I was on Suze's show yesterday. I asked her. She said no. She was not even polite about it. Dan Leach said no. He laughed in my face. And Cliff Reeve just, he was insulted that I even asked him. But I've managed to find someone. I now have him in the studio. I think he knows what he signed up for. Ethan, hello, mate. How are you?
I don't actually know what I've signed up for yet. You just kind of grabbed me. I thought I was getting a photo or something. What's going on?
Now you work in our production behind the scenes. You're the guy that makes a lot of these ads. So you're that guy. So people are thinking, oh, what does Ethan do? That's your role. But you've got a more important role now. Maybe, I don't want to argue with you, but it could be the most important role of your life, where you're going to be my champion, mate. How exciting for you.
What's a champion?
Squire.
Squire.
It's like you're my squire.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm thinking this is going to go somewhere big.
You look so nervous. Don't be scared. The Bailing Up Medieval Carnival, it's everyone dresses up as like the old-timey kind of stuff, and they happen to have a combat arena. It's not real blood or swords or anything. But you do need a level of skill, which is why we will be doing some challenges to make sure you're up to code. I mean, you're representing not just myself, not just Triple M, but everyone in the Southwest, because I like to believe they all get behind us. So you'll be representing us. So we will do some challenges to make sure that you are up to scratch.
Great. Okay. I think I've played enough sortie video games to get my way around this, I think.
Sortie
video games. I don't think that's what they're called. But
it's like Lord of the Rings. You ever watch Lord of the Rings?
I love Lord of the Rings.
You'll be like that. Just don't be one of the orcs. Be like one of the actual hobbits.
Like the hobbits.
Little hobbit, yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of do all right, don't they, towards the end there?
Towards the end, they go all right. But, yeah.
We just got to fast forward to the end, that's all. Going to train you up. Well, mate, look out for that. We're going to get some challenges. We'll start them next week. As well. Of course, the Bailing Up Medieval Carnival is coming up very, very soon. Food, Fun and Fire, August 25th and 26th. So that's like less than 2 weeks away. So we're going to get to training, mate, all right?
Well, I look forward to it now that I've already said yes to it.
West, I've got Simone on the line to talk all about this great fundraiser coming up at VAT2 on Friday the 24th of August. Good morning, Simone. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm very well, thank you.
Now, this is a fundraiser very close to your heart.
It is. The money that we're raising for Nick is to help with her recovery after her fall when she was left a quadriplegic. So we're just getting together and trying to help them with the rebuild of their new home and the care that Nick does need constantly. It's a daily thing that she has to have care for. So we're doing the best we can to help life be a little bit easier for Nick and Daniel and the kids.
Absolutely. It's so great to see the whole community get together. I know that a few businesses have already jumped on to help out as well.
They have. It's been overwhelming, actually. We've been very pleased with what people are willing to help out and offer to us. Jenny at the VAT has been marvellous. She's giving us the VAT for the night. So we've got the whole restaurant for the night. She's helping out with food. Every cent that we do make on the night goes straight to Nick and Daniel. So there's no outlay. The local businesses, you know, we've got TrueView Ceramics, we've got sports places, we've got all these things coming in that just doesn't cost anything for us to get. So every cent's going to Nick and Daniel, and we just appreciate how much people are doing for us.
Absolutely. How did Nick fall, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, she was just at home. It was a freak accident. It's something you'd never expect. She was walking down her stairs in her home and she was carrying her dog Milo, and she had some socks on that were quite thin and she slipped. She hit her head on the fall, which broke her neck and left her in the position she's in today.
Yeah, just devastating stuff. I just love that everyone's coming together to help out. Now, tickets are $25, right?
$25. You can get the tickets online at trybooking.com. Also, we have a Facebook page for our Nick. If you want to jump on there, you can see the link to buy the tickets. So, yes, $25. Again, all that goes to Nick and Daniel.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a very fun night. It's going to be, you've got to have a DJ there. Seems like it's all happening.
We actually got a local guy, Daddy Haynes, who's doing the music for us. He's offered his time at no cost to come and entertain us all for the night. There'll be a lot of Nick and Daniel's friends. Nick and Daniel have been a big part of the Bunbury community for a long time. So they will be there. Nick's very excited to see everyone. So it's a great opportunity for everyone to get together. It's just a really relaxed night. It's going to be fun. We'll have a main auction. We'll have a silent auction. And we've had so many donations of raffles and things like that. So it will just be a good, fun reason to catch up.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you get a massive turnout for it. Thank you once again for the chat today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Simone there, and great fundraiser, triplem.com.au. Hit up our What's On section for all the details and how you can get tickets as well. Mamma Mia 2 just came out like a month ago. A lot of people excited about it, not only because of the movie itself, but because of massive appearance from Cher. She actually sings a couple of ABBA covers during the movie, which is probably why she's now jumped on the bandwagon and decided to release a whole album of ABBA covers. And from what it looks like it's going to be pretty good. We've got the track listing now that's been released. Dancing Queen, The Name of the Game, SOS, Waterloo, Mamma Mia, Chiquita, Fernando, The Winner Takes It All, One of Us. Some great songs on there. Here's a little bit of a taste of her cover of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. We chase the shadows away. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Got that classic Cher to it, doesn't it? Just a little bit there. So look forward to that one coming out sooner than later, Cher. She's actually headed to WA as well. So looking forward to that one. She's still got it. Part of you wants to go, nah, she doesn't. No, she does. She certainly does still have it. So look forward to that one. Time to talk all things Collie. I get Kim on the line from YI hashtag visit Collie. Hello, Kim. How are ya?
I'm great. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing well. I tell you, when I'm around the Collie area, I always love exploring, finding out the little secret things that no one really knows about. Honeymoon pool, that's obviously not a secret, but geez, it's stunning. And another bit of Collie that's pretty interesting to check out is this massive King Jarrah tree.
Yeah, and it really is a bit of a secret because I'd lived here for years and didn't even know it was there. And actually, it was the couple that run the kiosk out at Wellington National Park told us about it. Went out to have a look at it, and it's absolutely huge. It's 36 metres tall. That's about a 12-storey building. And it would have been there between 300 and 500 years. So
Wow.
It means it's been here for a long, long time before even Captain Cook got here.
Yeah, geez, not too often you bump into something that's been there that long.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine something that's been there that long. But there's a lovely little boardwalk and viewing platform and everything to get in there. Unfortunately, you can't go right up to it. Because it's so old, it's dropping limbs.
Yeah, geez, you don't want to get that.
No. But people with prams or anyone in a wheelchair with a little bit of assistance to get across the car park, even the wheelchairs would get down there. So there's good disabled access to that one as well.
Yeah, they've got a nice little setup there. If you're looking to have lunch or something by, it's a perfect little setup for that. Something else that's pretty cool is when it comes to bike hire. Now, we know that Collie at the moment is basically put themselves on the map in regards to biking. And now the Collie River Valley Tourist Park is helping out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. They have mountain bikes there for hire. And whether you just want a bike to just trundle around town and have a little bit of look around, or whether you want a serious bike to go out and attack some of the mountain bike trails we've got locally, they have all kinds of bikes. They actually work in with Crank and Cycles.
Oh, yeah, because I borrowed a bike from them once and, had a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, they're awesome, the guys down there. They're gurus when it comes to anything mountain bikes. Mm. So whatever sort of bike riding you want to do, they can sort you out with that. And the caravan park, it's actually under new ownership. The new owners probably took over a couple of years ago now. But the work they've done there is absolutely amazing. I lived there briefly about 8 years ago and it was pretty run down. But everything's painted, the facilities are immaculate, lovely little place.
No, that's great. Well, everyone needs to get to Collie and have a ride at least once. It's all fantastic right now. Kim, thanks for the chat today.
Thanks, Alan. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thank you very much there, Kim, from Why I Hashtag Visit Collie. And I might just play a little bit of this if you don't mind. Oh, that's lovely. Bit of Verdi, eh? No, we're not the ABC. The reason why I'm playing a little bit of that just there is a woman has been arrested, a Slovakian woman has been arrested after what has started with playing that song really loud to drown out a dog, which now turned into a massive dispute between her and her neighbour as she would play that 4-minute song on loop for 16 years. Wow, what an absolute monster. Same song, 16 years, 4-minute song, repeat. She has been arrested and she could potentially face up to 3 years in jail if properly convicted. Oh, it's not bad. I don't know if I'd want to hear it every day for 16 years, but it's not bad.